Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What a morning, what a morning. Our new system here with Blog Talk, I guess it's for the year 2021, has some odd things going on, and I do apologize. We were set up to start. I said good morning, and then it kicked me out. But we are here. We are here, and I thank you, excuse me, for your patience in coming back, in waiting, and in persevering. And so it should be started. It should have started. It is started. So it's asking me some really weird things. I want it to remind me, but I pray you can hear. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to X that out. Whew. Praise the Lord. Y'all still here. Glory to God. All right. New things are daunting sometimes. New systems, especially without a heads up. So good morning. We entering really a really powerful lesson today as we get further into the spirit, the sevenfold spirit of God, those seven different functions, the anointing, the expressions, and the flow. And so we started in chapter 9, the spirit of wisdom, in part one of it, because it is a powerful concept that we want to embrace wholeheartedly, and we want it written in our hearts so that we are transformed by this revelation and by this knowledge. And so the chapter overview will include the definition of the spirit of wisdom. We have looked at a lot of things over time. We've learned a lot of doctrines and getting an understanding of gifts and calling, and just the function and flow of them within the body of Christ. And so I want to encourage you, as well as to admonish you, that those things were true. This is it going up another level. And so sometimes we get new information and we don't know how it fits in with what we've heard before, because it seems to be a little different. But the difference here is the mystery that God is revealing to those who have diligently sought him, those who have studied to show themselves approved, those that have come before his throne longing to know him to a deeper level, a more intimate level. And so we're at an intimate place where that which is shared has not been necessarily shared with others who have not yet come to a point of wanting to draw closer to him, or to even knowing that there is more. They're in a place where they're learning and they're gleaming and they're processing and they're in their process. This is just where our process takes us. And I realize that sometimes if you see a person something before they're ready to digest it, it has an adverse effect on them. It doesn't have the optimum effect that it should have. And so giving this information definition, further definition, a deeper definition, and a definition that really pertains to those who have come into a place of intimate dwelling, desiring to dwell in the presence of God. And so we are going to get this definition of the spirit of wisdom, understanding that there is a gift of wisdom, and there's also a word of wisdom. All are authentic, all are used to edify the body of Christ. It is used in our services and in our life. And many of you have been exposed to the gift of wisdom as well as the word of wisdom. You may have received or you may have given a word of wisdom. I think we learned in the prophetic class that that doesn't mean you have the gift of wisdom, but that means you have a end time, this is the time of place, anointing of the spirit of wisdom to go forth into someone's life. So sometimes we may use it as it relates to, well, we don't use it, but God uses us to give a word to encourage someone who is suffering or who is ill or who is being challenged or who has a concern. And they're given a word of wisdom to help them stay grounded, to stay focused. Oh, this thing is doing some weird stuff. Start the next exit. No. Okay. You're too late to start your next exit. What are you talking about? This computer, this system, I'm going to have to call them when we're done. But anyway, and so the spirit of wisdom is being defined now into a level where we will understand it is attached and it is a part of, it is the function, it is the anointing, and it is the flow of the Holy Spirit in our life. And so it is brought to be aside from the gift of the Spirit as well as the gift of wisdom and as well different from a word of wisdom. And so the author shares that the spirit of wisdom is a supernatural endowment. An endowment is something that is given to you that belongs to someone else that has great value. And it says it's an endowment of an ability to do something above one's own ability. It is actually the skillful ability to do what God has called you to do. Now, this gives us a place of comfort, a place that will dispel the lie of the enemy that will cause us to fear failure, because this ability, this spirit of wisdom is given from God to override and help us to overcome the fact that those things that God has called us to do that we don't have to do it, he is going to give us the ability to do it in his own skillful power. And it says, there is a wisdom, a river of wisdom being released to the church right now. Not an analytical ability, but a skillful and creative ability. And I stopped there and I circled that because I realized that this information, these treasures, these revelations and secrets that God is revealing to us, he first told us he was going to in the prophetic word that has been spoken over us as a church, as a group, as this fail of worshipers. And that creative ability, we hear it in the mountain of media and the mountain of arts and entertainment, but this creative ability is the ability to do when Christ, in the beginning, he spoke, and he had the creative ability to, and so it was. He spoke, and the moon and the stars, he spoke, and the trees and the grass, they came into being. This creative ability is to go beyond something that already exists and take us to a place to make manifest in the earth realm something that people have not seen before. So God is an ongoing, he is a fluent God, and he is doing things. We were told we're going in a place we've never been this way before. So we don't know how this is supposed to go. We can't look at the back and try to recreate something. This has to be a new, fresh oil, a daily oil of a creative ability that has come from heaven so that what we do say, think, and feel, and be have become will manifest the the kingdom of God and the person of God's character in the earth realm, where people will wonder, and it says people will look and see how are they doing these things, where are they getting this skill and this knowledge to apply the word of God to their everyday life. Because it's impossible for you to see it, and anybody cannot see it and read it and say, okay, I'm going to do that. You can't do that. It only can be done in you through the ability and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, flowing, giving you the ability to live as God has called us to live, doing those things that seem impossible, but are no longer impossible because we have the resources of heaven. We were told that this is the season of impossibilities. The world will look and go, no, how can they do that? It's because we have been given a divine ability, a divine creative ability through God to bring forth what he desires and he has called us to do in the earth realm. This program is going to truly get on my nerves because it keeps giving me notices to skip this session. It says I'm late, but we're doing it. So I may get distracted every now and then because it comes up over the screen and it covers everything, and I don't know what that's about. Okay, and I don't want it to cut you off or shut us down, so I'm just going to let it sit there. Okay. And so the spirit of wisdom is being defined for us. Wisdom is a living skill. It is the ability to apply the knowledge of God's word to our daily lives. And our daily lives, meaning our daily situations and circumstances, the circumstances that are created around us, the environment that we're in, we will be able, through the wisdom of the spirit of wisdom in our life, this flowing, continuous flow of the spirit of wisdom, to have developed skills, or not to develop it, but to manifest the skills of what the word of God and the knowledge of God will indicate our response to life should be. It involves the application of God's truth to all of our human experience on a day-by-day basis, or even a moment-by-moment basis. There is nothing that we need to do, can do, and should do that God will not give us the power to do, because we are dwelling in a constant communication and communion with God in intimacy, in such a closeness that which is on him permeates the atmosphere and the atmosphere around us. And so it's that which can't stand against God, which is nothing can stand against God, won't be able to stand against you because of your close proximity to God. We are in an intimate place that's coming straight from the throne, and that is where we have found ourselves. We are dwelling in the presence, and in that presence flows a river of wisdom. That's one of the things. And it is the indication of that center pipe of the lampstand that we had talked about, that through that center pipe flows that oil that empowers the light to come up six areas to illuminate the places that we're in. So we're talking now about that one light of the spirit of wisdom. We realize that the spirit of God being upon us is that center light. It's upon us because we are now dwelling in his presence in intimacy. We've come close to him. We are hanging on every word that will come forth from heaven. We're given this wisdom by the Holy Spirit. He delivers it. And every piece of information that we need to know that's going on in heaven, he reveals to us. So as a result, we have the knowledge and the power to understand not just what is, but what is to come, because God will always prepare us for that. We walk in this perpetual, endless flow of the unlimited anointing, not just every once in a while, as before with the word of wisdom or even the gift of wisdom. But this is the spirit of wisdom, and we want more than just a word. And we need, in this time, there has to be those among us that have more than just a word of wisdom, but we need that river of wisdom. We need the power of the wisdom of the river of wisdom to flow because of really the magnitude of what is going on and the amount of power being released in the earth realm to address the things that are going on and to bring the people from the influence of those things that are around them and bring them into the safety of the ark of salvation. And it comes when you are displaying a different way of responding to even a word or a situation or a circumstance. You respond through wisdom, then you stand out. You become a light, like, wow, did you see how they responded to that? And it's something new. And with it comes, and we'll get to that, the benefits of the spirit of wisdom. But when people see that, that's how they're drawn to Christ. Not so much by our words, but by our life, by what Christ has caused us to become more like him. And then we go to the function of the spirit of wisdom. And he starts with John 7:38, out of his heart, means out of our heart, out of your heart, out of your belly, the very seat of your being, will flow rivers of living water. These waters symbolize multiple flows of the function of the Holy Spirit. Think about the spirit of wisdom as a river of wisdom flowing out of your life. As we stated earlier, wisdom is not analytical ability, but creative power. There's such a difference between analytical ability and creative power. So the spirit of wisdom is an impartation or a river of ability created of creative ability to function in what God is calling us to do. We have all kinds of things going on here. Pray. Amen. And so when we look at the function of the spirit of wisdom, and he shares some insights and information to feel. Okay, hold on 1 second. Hold on. Okay, I'm sorry. So sorry. Okay. And so the function of the spirit of wisdom. And it says that Jesus is wise, is he not? It says we see the beginning from the, he sees the beginning from the end, and he's the Alpha and Omega. So this, again, he is able, through his, the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, to give us the information we need. It's nothing more frustrating is to have a task but not have the proper tools to complete the task. So often, you know, you kind of maybe put something together and you don't have the Phillips screw, but you got that other screwdriver, but you got that other little one, you know, and you figure, well, let me see if I can make this work. You work harder and you work longer and you expend all this energy and this time in trying to do a task to build something that you really don't have the proper equipment to build. And you're trying to make do because you're trying to use what you already have. Whereas he's saying, no, use this new thing. There's a new tool that I'm giving you. And so that task that you need to build this will go better when you use these tools, this flow of the spirit of wisdom in your life. And then it's effortless. And so we see that even for Christ, the function of the spirit of wisdom grew in him. It wasn't in him immediately. It says, and Jesus grew in strength and stature and favor with God and man. He grew into this. We're learning this is a process. And as we go through that process, as we complete each stage or as we incorporate each element of the stages into our life, it then starts developing, creating this new creature. And the creature is created already, but now it's being manifested, not just to the world, but to ourselves. Things are happening that we are even in awe of. I love the song that we tried to start today with, is that we're in awe of you, oh God. We're just in awe of you because we see what you have said. We see what we have heard as you have created it in us through the flow of your Holy Spirit, the job of the Holy Spirit. And we all know, you know, is to teach, to comfort, to correct, you know, and to convict us of sin. And he does this so that this stuff we can lay out, we can lay off of us, we can leave it behind. We're comforted in leaving it behind because he's there giving us that assurance, that constant flow of the anointing, that it can be done because it's being done divinely. And we often get so frustrated in trying to do it because we've decided, I'm not going to do that. And we can't. We can. Paul said, what I don't want to do, I do, and what I do that I don't want, that's the whole dialogue that he had. And it's because we cannot do it without being in Christ, in that flow, in that vine, as a part of that lampstand attached to Jesus Christ, so that that anointing will flow from heaven into us. And so as he grew, we will grow. And it says, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this that in which is given to him that he can do such mighty works are performed by his hand? That's that wisdom that the world saw that Christ displayed as he had grown in wisdom and knowledge. Everything that he was that they knew about would not indicate that he should have the kind of power that he did, the kind of wisdom that he could expound in the temple and make even those who had studied and were learned for decades about the law and about God, they were amazed by what he was saying. Where did this come from? This was that continuous, unlimited flow of wisdom from heaven going directly into him as he grew, as he became more and more in strength and in stature. In other words, his virtues were built. They were tried. They were true. He was growing in the direction that his destiny would have him be. And as a result, he was empowered every step along the way to fulfill that which he was born to do. And that same type of environment is what he is showing to us. He is revealing to us. He has done it, and it will work. It will happen, and it will happen in such a way. And the main thing I kept seeing it, as you read the story of the gospel, God, Christ did it with a joy and with a holy peace that no one could understand. He had, you know, they told him, don't go back there, because when Lazarus was sick and dying, and he said, I have to go back. And his doctor said, no, don't go back, because, you know, they're looking for you. They're looking to kill you. And if you go there, you won't be safe. He had no hesitation. The only reason he waited was because divinely that's what he was supposed to do, so that Lazarus would be dead, and they would then see him bring down heaven's authority and bring Lazarus back to life. And so it was purposeful, but it was not out of fear. It was not out of the circumstances of the environment. It was not out of the consequences of what man thought would happen had he done that. People that he loved and wanted him to continue to preach. But he understood, my words mean nothing if my actions aren't built on what I'm talking about. And so he showed that when he waited to go to his friend, when his friend had died. And so we have to understand there's a way that may seem right, but the end thereof is destruction, is because it's not leading to God. So anything that we do that does not point to God and God's purpose on our life is a way of destruction. But one thing is destruction, destroying our destiny. It is destroying the hope that we are born with and are gifted with when we come into the body of Christ. And so that's what the enemy's job is, to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's doing. So when that happens, we have to realize that we are no longer under his influence. And he can't do that because of our proximity to God. His stuff, his influence can't reach us, you know, because we are surrounded by the blood of God, of Jesus Christ, and it protects us from the influence of the enemy. He cannot. And so we have to make sure we don't give entrance into where we are to the enemy. You know, and that's that part of that declaration that says you still kill or sold. Did we sell that place that we were in for something that we thought was better, because our way of thinking was not based on this endless flow of wisdom. We did not know how to take the knowledge that we had and in wisdom use it to transform our response to life. And so this is the place that the Lord is revealing to us, that this is the place you're in. Not that the place you're going. You are there. You are there. Now he is showing us. You know how you could go to a place and you do a tour of it and you see this is where this is, that's where that is. You're there. You're there now. And you're in this intimate place with God. And he's just revealing, you got this, you got that. He's showing us what is ours, what has been endowed to us. This is our endowment. That's something that belongs to someone else that they have given to us. And because it belongs to God, he always has control over it, and he will always use it for his glory. And he will teach us how to use it for his glory. Because sometimes when we have these things, we get so excited about it that we kind of just run off like a kid to get a new toy. Just want to tear the box open and start playing with it. Like, no. You got to first read the directions. You got to read the instructions. And so often when we rip a package open, we can lose just one little piece. And that will mess up the effectiveness of that thing. Now, it may work. It may work, you know, but it won't work in perfection like it was intended to. And that's the same way we are when we are given at this place where we're given the environment of this continuous, ceaseless flow of the spirit of wisdom. We have to understand this is what you have, and this is the function of it. This is defining it for you. Don't define it by what you know. Define it by what is being shown to you, because this revelation is of something that you know not of. And this is our spiritual growth and development. This is our growing in strength and in stature, because now stature, I often thought, was, oh, he got taller. But no, he stood up spiritually. He stood up. Just like when you're bent over and you're sitting down, you know, your stature may be slumped over or whatever. But this growing in stature is allowing those things that would hinder you to bend you over to be removed, the shackles removed off of your fingers and your arms and your elbow and your shoulders. And those are the things that encumbered us and keeps us from standing strong and standing, having done all stand. There are different things that we put on to help our stature grow and develop. The thing, putting on the whole armor, is putting on that which will cause our stature to stand up straight and strong and have all of the defenses, if you will, in its proper place so that when we walk, you know, we will walk according to really the constraints of the love of God. The love of God constrains us from certain things. And in that kind of stature, the love that Jesus had for God constrained him from, you know, being angry at people who didn't love God, but rather staying and teaching and healing, even healing those that were ungrateful. But because of his stature, because of his position of having released all of those things that would encumber him to display and to always allow the love of God to flow through him to those that God brought his way. And so we are in that place of this spiritual growth and development. And then we have the benefit of the wisdom of God. And as he uses this, I hope that you looked up this Proverbs 4:5-13 in its many different versions, okay? I'll read this. If anybody has it in the Message or Living Word, can you let me know, and then you can read it in that, because the author is going to spend some time in going through this scripture, this powerful, powerful scripture about wisdom, the benefits of wisdom. And we will find that everything we really long for as regular, not regular, but as human beings, a natural human being, the things we long for, that we spend a lifetime trying to accomplish, is accomplished as a benefit of the spirit of wisdom, of the spirit of wisdom. Does anybody have another version of Proverbs 4:5-13? I'm going to read this one that's in the book, but if you have another version, we want to look at that as well. It says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. That's a promise. She will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. So you don't have to try to keep yourself. Just love wisdom, and it will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, standing, exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. I just love that part. I circled it, and I went back, and not to find out that he then is going to talk about it on the next page. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. Because when I look at it, it says she will place on your head an ornament of grace. And then a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Okay? That's invoking the people around you. She's delivering them to you. She's delivering a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Here, that's like making your enemies your footstool. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Those are facts. It's not even a promise. It's just a fact. I love it because God can establish facts. That's that creative ability that is to establish something that people, you'll say, well, no, you may fumble. He says you may fumble. Yeah, you will, but not when you embrace the benefits of wisdom. Take firm hold of instructions. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. That is a powerful revelation of the place that we're in, and they pertain to us, not just to, you know, mighty men and women of God, men of valor. It pertains to us. It pertains to everyone. So he starts with promotion. And I love it because he's saying wisdom is what takes you from where you are to where he needs you to be. The only way to get there is through the promotion that your embracing wisdom will give you. The spirit of wisdom will bring promotion. Grace is favor or supernatural ability to do what you cannot do. He does it for you. That takes all the stress out of, well, stress is the next one. But that takes all the work out of trying to be successful, trying to accomplish a certain status in life and in your environment and the situations around you, your job, your church. It takes all of the work. He said, be wise, and wisdom will bring it to you. I hope we can see it's like it will bring it to you on a tray. You know how you want breakfast and bread, and somebody is in the kitchen cooking it, preparing it. Somebody bought it, okay, cooked it, prepared it, and then they deliver it to you. That's exactly what promotion happens, that wisdom does to promotion. It buys it, it cooks it, prepares it, and then it brings it to you. All you have to do is sit there, let them place it in your lap because it's yours and it's there. And God does it all for you. And you'll find, I don't know how, there's many testimonies. I know I have one that God has given me as it related to in the workplace. And it was so phenomenal. And it kept happening. And I kept sitting there thinking when people would be making all these accolades to people at different meetings. And, oh, my goodness, this person was this, that, and other. I'm like, wow, I want to meet that person. And then they called my name. And it's like, what? I mean, even it happens, it's so effortless. It's like, but, you know, then when I would listen to what they think back on what they said, it's like, because I understood, I didn't do it. God did it. You know, I used to tell somebody after job work, don't ask me anything about work. I don't know nothing about it. But while I was there, he did it. Whatever was required, he made sure it was done. He did it in excellence. And that's what they were drawn to. And I had the president tell me, he said, I worry about many things. I stay up late at night worrying about many things, but I never worry about your area. And that was a testimony to God. God saw that supernatural ability. It's not to God, but the people saw that supernatural ability, and they were always confused by it. And when different CEOs would come in and different managers and owners and auditors and whatever, and they would send them to my area and let them know whatever she tell you, that's it. And they would look like, you kidding me, right? Who's your boss? And I would tell them, this is my boss. And my boss would come back and say, no, you need to talk to her. And that was strictly God. You know, and I remember at one point, and it was such a humbling experience. And we got a new building. We were downtown, and the president lived out in Schaumburg somewhere. No, actually in Barrington. And so he got tired of commuting. So, you know, they do what rich people do. He bought another building, and he moved the company out there. Well, I was living near, right am where I am now, actually, near Indiana. And it's out there near Wisconsin. And I thought, well, I don't know how this is going to work, okay, every day. But the thing was, God caused promotion to come to me. Because they came to me, I'm thinking, I don't know how this is going to work. And they came to me saying, we know that this is the distance. We understand this, that, and the other, and whatever. And so they gave whatever needed to happen monetarily to me so that wouldn't be a problem. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, when they find out, because I'm going to move. I'm not going to stay way out of here and do that time. So when I moved, I went to them and said, well, you know, I no longer need, you know, the compensation that you gave me, because I'm close. I went real close to Elgin. And they said, no, that's yours. That's great. That's wisdom giving promotion. And then at some point in this wonderful big office building, I have a corner office. and so many other people, and that was nothing but God. And I would go in every morning, I'd be going, you know, when am I going to wake up? When are they going to wake up and kick me out? Okay. I mean, it was just such an amazing way. And they always came, and they always wanted more than what they really came for. But what they really wanted was the God in me. And I would do that, and they would even allow me to. But wisdom would do that, that creative ability to do what God needs you to do, because I didn't have it. It wasn't in me. And so I'm just sharing that because all of the hard work a lot of people around me did that wanted the position I was in, and they became very angry, very vindictive. They because they had worked so hard, they had given up so much, they had compromised their integrity. They didn't have much virtue, you know, because they wanted a certain thing that they felt that's what they needed to do to get it, and they could not understand how could someone have it. First of all, as far as they were concerned, it was undeserving, okay, not capable of, and definitely not deserving of, and yet it just flowed. It flowed from 1 year to after, I think I was there like 20 years, something like that. And so I left. I retired. And even what they did when I retired. So just everything that you can struggle for all your life, if you just embrace what God, the endowment that God has for us, it will come to you. It will come to you. And that's the promotion. That is when from where we were to where God needs us to be, to do what our destiny requires of us. It says here clearly, He does it for you. So it shares the thing that says why, and he didn't understand why, you know, he got all these breaks, why all these people, he called it luck. I knew from the beginning it was truly God and God alone. And he does this whole scenario about this gentleman wanting to give him a horse that he didn't need. And when he ended up going through dialogue and saying, well, you know, why? And the guy said, because I know that everything you touch turns to gold. Okay? And so that is the favor of God that's allowed flowing through his life. And from he said, sharing got this favor based on the life he had lived and how he had grown up in it, and how God doesn't look at whether we deserve it or, because we don't deserve anything. The favor of God is his grace on us, that he gives us what we don't deserve. And so as his humility of his early life brought him to a place where God could trust him with this promotion, because he learned to embrace the spirit of wisdom. And so I don't want to rush through the rest of the chapter, so we'll kind of stop there and get your insights and your input, your revelation, and what did God show you? What were some of the things that were revealed to you as we started journeying through the understanding of the spirit of wisdom? The lines are open.
Good morning, Elder.
I was just wondering.
Good morning, elders. Yes.
No, go ahead.
So I had a question. I just had a question. I was just wondering why wisdom was referred to as she.
Oh, okay. That's a good question, but I believe that as I'm trying to think now who wrote this. I think Solomon wrote it to his son. Somebody wrote it to Solomon. But the person, the father that was giving the directions to the son, wanted the son to understand based on his natural frame of reference. So what does a man understand about a very close relationship? They associate it with a woman. So he wanted them to know, wanted his son to understand, this is a precious thing, just as a woman is, and how you embrace, because he uses these kinds of terms that you would use when you would be sharing, telling a male child how to, you know, grow up and love women. How's that, you know, type deal. And so he uses that as a, you know, I forgot what they call these things, but it's like
a metaphor.
Thank you. Yes, as a metaphor. Not that great, that the spirit of wisdom is a woman, no, but the relationship you should have with them, whether you're a man or a woman, is like you would in the embrace of a woman. That's how close it's supposed to be, because you know that God established man and woman, and there was an establishment in that coupling that was extremely powerful for the development of the man, okay? For the development of the man. And so this also is a mate that is indispensable for the development of a man. And so that's why in most of the Proverbs, they call it a she. Because they were talking to a man and trying to use that as an illustration of the kind of relationship a man would have with a woman. So, you know, what she'll bring to you, that's what a woman does. They wait on them. Don't forget, she'll to love her, she'll keep you. If you forsake her, if you don't forsake her, she will preserve you. So, in other words, the things that you do to a woman or in a relationship with the woman, remember they're talking to their son, okay? He is sharing the fact that you understand what it means to preserve you. That means to make sure it meet all of your needs, okay, and keep you in a good place, and that's what a woman does for a man. So I believe that's why it was referred to. And throughout, I think, the Proverbs, it was referred to that way because it was a father talking to his son. I hope.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. Elder?
Good morning. I was just going to read that passage for you in the Amplified. I was reading it in the Amplified. And I was just going to share that Proverbs 4. This verse says, excuse me, get skillful and godly wisdom, acquire understanding, actively seek spiritual discernment, mature comprehension, and logical interpretation. Do not forget nor turn away from words of my mouth. Verse 6, do not turn away from her wisdom, and she will guard and protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is get skillful and godly wisdom. It is preeminent. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Actively seek spiritual discernment, mature comprehension, and logical interpretation. Verse 8, prize wisdom and exalt her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. Verse 9, she will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty and glory. Verse 10, hear my son and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Verse 11, I have instructed you in the ways of skillful and godly wisdom. I have led you an upright path. Verse 12, when you walk, your steps will not be impeded, for your path will be clear and open. And when you run, you will not stumble. Verse 13, take hold of instruction, actively seek it, Grip it firmly and do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. And I think
wow.
it was just to 13, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
wonderful.
That was 13.
Amen.
I had
you see how
NIV.
Okay. All right.
It said, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. That was verse 6. Verse 7, wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom, though it costs all you have. Get understanding. Verse 8, esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. Verse 9, she will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. 10, listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. 11, I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. 12, when you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Verse 13, hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life.
Amen. Yeah. Powerful.
Holy Spirit. Oh, good.
Yeah.
And I, if you didn't mind, I had it in the Message Bible.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. And it said, when I was a boy at my father's knee, the pride and joy of my mother, he would sit me down and drill me. Take this to heart. Do what I tell you. Live. Sell everything and buy wisdom. Forage for understanding. Don't forget one word. Don't deviate an inch. Never walk away from wisdom. She guards your life. Love her. She keeps her eye on you. Above all and before all, do this. Get wisdom. Write this at the top of your list. Get understanding. Throw your arms around her. Believe me, you won't regret it. Never let her go. She makes your life glorious. She garlands your life with grace. She fathoms your day with beauty. Dear friend, take my advice. It will add years to your life. I'm writing out clear direction to wisdom way. I'm drawing a map to righteous road. I don't want you to end up blind alley, a wasting time making wrong turns. Hold tight to good advice. Don't relax your grip. Guard it well. Your life is at stake.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a blessing. And it's encouraging to read it in the different versions because it gives you, you know, I think that every week, you know, read it in a different version just to remind you. Share with your children. As you were reading, Minister Pat, I was thinking how, you know, this is a wonderful foundation for marriage counseling, for individuals of in relationships to understand when you're in relationship with something, this is what it should bring about. That's the perfected result of that kind of powerful relationship of a marriage, of even of a child. Anybody else? Insight, wisdom, revelation? Okay. One of the things I really want to do, and I don't want to jump ahead, but we need to read the ending declaration. And as we're reading this chapter, really in the remaining of the book, we need to keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. He keep giving us all kinds of weapons for the warfare that we are in. And I was reminded of the olive branch and how it started this, and how in the book, when you see that olive branch, it's about to give you a hope of something to come, of new, of the power of where we're going, even. That olive branch is, I love it when Apostle KP sent it out and shared. And then this book uses it as a, it's like Noah was looking for, you know, the dove to come back. And when it came back, it had the olive branch. It was his sign, like, yes, yes, you know, there is land. It's like, yes, yes, there is truth that's being manifest, and we're going to see it. We're in it. But our, if you turn on page 119, the last section in this chapter on wisdom, part one, there's a powerful faith declaration. And the author says, please make these faith declarations out loud in prayer. But I'm going to read it. And it says, we are coming into sync right now with the plan of heaven for our lives upon the earth. We are going to walk in such a realm of the spirit that we will gain strength. We're going to increase and be fruitful. Because we will operate by the spirit of wisdom. We will build as wise builders, not with wood, hay, or stubble. We are going to build with silver and gold. The Holy Spirit is going to search out the deep things of God and reveal them to us. Then he is going to give us wisdom to implement and to see the fulfillment of those things. We thank you that we are a people who are being led and instructed to live wisely and wittily by the Holy Spirit. Our steps are ordered by the Holy Spirit. Our lives will conform and confound. Our lives will confound the wise. This year is going to be the greatest year that we've seen for building the kingdom. And we will be amazed at what we are going to do. God, Lord, because we have embraced the spirit of wisdom, you are going to promote us. You are putting that ornament of grace on our heads right now. I thank you for the crowning of glory. I thank you, Lord, that we are going to have long life because we are going to know a sense of rest in the spirit that we have never known before. We are not going to do it by our strength and our ability, but by the river of wisdom. Lord, I thank you that right now you are releasing an ability to teach like never before. I thank you, Lord, that you have written, you have given us patterns to build by. Now the spirit of wisdom is going to see the fulfillment of those patterns. Some of those things for which we have waited 10 or 20 years. This year, there is going to be a 30, 60, or, and, one, not or, and 100-fold increase of them. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And that's our declaration. That's our faith decree. And as we read, we are being equipped to see it manifest in our life. And I love it because this very thing where he says this year is going to be the greatest year you've ever seen, that was part of the prophetic word. And it's that was this book was written, I forgot, I know Apostle KP had told us once. What year was this book written? I know one thing. It wasn't last year. Maybe it was. Revised in the year 2020, which was last year. Amen. Amen. So the prophetic word is coming to us. And we believe the prophetic. Believe the prophetic and we will prosper. And that's what the word says. Amen. Amen. Anybody
Amen.
Else? Insight? Revelation? Comments?
Oh, see, I just wanted to... Can I say one thing regarding the...
Yeah,
you
can say two things.
Oh, don't give me too much leeway now. You know, I might have 11
things. You know, go ahead.
No. Hey. I just wanted to say, in the when reading that passage from Proverbs 4, that one reason why I really, really, really love it, to me, it just breaks down. I like the message in those because it gives me just a quick way to get it. But I like the Amplify because it breaks it down. And just that very first sentence where in the translation that the writer wrote where it says, get wisdom, get understanding. Mm-hmm. And so just get wisdom, get understanding. And then in the Amplified, it says get and the skillful and godly wisdom, acquire understanding, and explains understanding as actively seek spiritual discernment, mature comprehension, and logical interpretation. That's what the writer is saying that understanding is, that we would actively seek spiritual discernment, mature comprehension, and logical interpretation. And the one thing that jumped out at me is that those are three different things, you know, when it's just get understanding.
Yes.
So what is understanding? Yes. You know, to have that understanding, that you've got to have the spiritual discernment. And then sometimes you can have the spiritual discernment, but are you mature in the way that you're understanding it? Are you comprehending it maturely or as a babe? And then is your comprehension logical? Because sometimes we can deceive ourselves. So, you know, to me, just the whole idea that what is really understanding, you know, all of those things. So anyway, I just thought that was a whole mouthful for that get wisdom, get understanding, because that all of that was that. You know, then he goes into do not turn away. But just to really break down that understanding isn't just, oh, I get it, I know what you said. It's like, do I know what you said in the spirit? You know, is it making sense as a mature Christian? Is this what somebody would do? And is even what you're saying logical? So, anyway, that was just jumped out of me.
Amen.
I was reading it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that is part of the benefit of sharing and just looking, not just in one version, but in multiple versions, because it then becomes almost a lesson, like you say, with the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible, because it gives you almost a definition of every word that's being said, every key word that's being said. That's wonderful. Yeah. Anybody else? Absolutely. Okay, well, I thank you. I know we've gone over and you're used to us being over at 10. Again, I apologize. I'm going to call them and see what this new format is all about, because my screen right now is saying you're late to start your episode. And it's like, well, y'all don't know, we finished now. I don't know what to say. But I appreciate your patience, and, you know, I may not be tech-savvy, but I'm going to show somebody is, and they're going to find out and tell me what the deal is. But, again, we'll come again together next week at 9 o'clock. On this very place that we're at now. So I encourage you to encourage yourself with the Word of God, because it is very encouraging. It's some powerful stuff. And we deny it. We deny ourselves the power of our salvation by denying ourselves the Word of God. So if it's just one word, a word, get it every day. Get it all day. Hide it in your heart. That's why he said, write it, hide it, see it, coming, going, because it is the power And it is our encouragement. And in these times, and it keeps us focused. It keeps us focused so that we are aware of this ceaseless, unlimited flow of the spirit of wisdom coming from the throne of God into our hearts. And it's ours. It is our endowment. And it is creative, and it is powerful ability that's been given to us. So I thank you for our fellowship of learners and reminding everyone to remember some of our partners in faith that are in the hospital and nursing homes and traveling for the homegoing of I think it's Bishop Isaac's sister, the Bishop Isaac Senior sister. So the whole family is traveling, and in these day and age, traveling can be a very daunting task. And so we do pray that protection of God around them. And they're going through the D.C. They're going through that area there. So there's a lot of things that the enemy would like to lay trap for us, but we speak and declare that that strategy is broken and that the power of the blood of Jesus will see them there and back and make a difference in where they went and where they've traveled. And so we just want to remember that to be true for all of us. The power of the Spirit make a difference everywhere we go and everyone we come in contact with, whether we say a word or smile or think a thought, whatever it is, let it be pointing them and releasing in the atmosphere our angels to bring about that which heaven would have them to receive. And so thank you, love you, and worship well and worship relentlessly. Okay? All right. Be blessed. Amen. And you all know it did snow this morning. I wasn't distracted by the snow either. Just so you know. That's why she looking at the snow. That's why she ain't on. So I was looking at the snow. I had to show that disclaimer. I'll get going. Amen. Amen. I'll talk with y'all later. Amen. God bless.
Amen.
God bless. Okay. So, now.